Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A little over 6 weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, we began a sermon series by reviewing the Old Testament story of Joseph. His brothers, out of envy and anger, had sold Joseph into slavery. And for many years, and through many events, some very painful and others very advantageous, Joseph emerged as the second most powerful man in Egypt. When their father Jacob died, Joseph's brothers were afraid it was payback time. Joseph held their lives in his hands. He could exact revenge, and they could do nothing to stop it. And they now stood before Joseph, asking his forgiveness and wondering what he would do. And we read in the scriptures that with tears in his eyes, Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to keep many people alive today." It's important to understand what Joseph was saying. He wasn't saying, "Well, you tried to do evil things, but well, what you did really wasn't evil." It was. His brothers knowingly did evil to him. But what God did was use that evil. At times he counteracted it, and sometimes God just plain grabbed evil and used it in his larger plan. No one can see it at the time, but that's how God works. In light of that and what we're going to hear tonight, as we listen to what happened to Jesus on that day we call Good Friday, we could certainly call this night Evil Friday. I know we don't think of it that way, but as we've seen the past few weeks, evil was at work throughout the events that culminated in the death of our Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke we read, "It was now about the sixth hour," that's about noon, "about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Luke wasn't just giving us a time and weather report here. He was also making the point that the darkness of evil was present. The darkness was bad. It's a sign that evil is close at hand. And all the way back in Luke chapter 1, at the birth of the one who would be John the Baptizer, his father Zechariah praised God, saying, "Sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." God had begun to work in the world in a new way. His light was already alive in the womb of Mary as Zechariah spoke those words. God's mercy in the person of his son was coming and would bring sunrise, bring light into darkness. But on that Friday at noon, there was darkness over the whole land. Less than a day before, Jesus had been arrested by people who were doing the will of Satan himself. And Jesus said to them, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Now, even though we know how this story, how this history goes, when we read about darkness over the whole land, it should make us tremble. There is a real Satan. There is real evil, and evil was at work on that long ago Friday afternoon. And Luke tells us, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two." God tore that curtain in two to highlight what was happening on the cross. The Holy of Holies, that only place where priests were allowed to go, would now be open to all. But he also makes the point that as that curtain was torn and destroyed, so this temple would be destroyed. And it was, about 40 years later by the Romans. It had served its purpose of delivering forgiveness to the children of Israel through the sacrifices of animals, but now the final sacrifice was about to be given, a sacrifice that would be not just for Israel, but for the whole world. And then Luke tells us that Jesus entrusted himself to his Father's care, and he died. The only one who never deserved to die, died. I mean, you deserve to die. I know some of you. You deserve to die. And so do I. The wages of sin is death. And we have sinned. But over and over, Luke has told us that Jesus is innocent, that he doesn't deserve the fate of death. But Jesus does die. He dies the death of a criminal in shame and dishonor. He's naked because they've taken away his clothes and divided them among themselves. The death of an innocent man by the most terrible means, crucifixion. Truly an evil death. But what happens next is amazing and serves really as a turning point for us. A centurion, a Gentile soldier in the pay of Rome, is there, and he's been watching and listening. And we don't know if he helped fasten Jesus to the cross or not. Luke only tells us that he was there. And we don't know the full extent of what the centurion knew or believed, like that believing criminal a few verses earlier. We only have what Luke tells us. But what Luke gives is amazing. This unexpected Gentile believer helps us see that Evil Friday is also Good Friday. Luke writes, "Now when the centurion saw what had happened, what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.'" A literal translation would be, he glorified God. This man didn't know everything that was going on, but he glorified God. Here are some others Luke tells us glorified God. On the first Christmas, the shepherds returned to their fields and they glorified God over all they had seen and heard. Did they get it all yet? Hardly. But they knew that God was doing something, something wonderful. When Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic with a word, both the man and the crowd that had gathered glorified God. They knew that God was at work. At the village of Nain, the crowd saw Jesus raise a widow's son back to life, and they glorified God. A woman was crippled and bent over for 18 years, and Jesus healed her. And what did she do? She glorified God. 10 lepers were healed. But only one foreigner, the Samaritan, came running back to Jesus, glorifying God. All these people saw God at work, and they glorified him. See, that's what makes what the centurion said so utterly remarkable. The centurion glorified God. He knew that in some way God was at work. He stood there in the darkness in the presence of this great evil, faced with cruelty and a death that should not have happened, and this soldier glorified God. And we're here tonight to do the same. When Jesus breathes his last, that can't be the end. It can't be the last thing. Not if God is God. Not if justice matters. Evil must not have the last word. And that means Jesus' full trust in his Father to receive his Spirit will not be the last thing. Not if God cares about the world and about sin and about Satan's wreckage. The centurion gives a hint of what's coming. This man on the cross was innocent, undeserving of this great evil. And the soldier glorified God, even though he didn't know more was coming, because good was coming. Evil Friday was also Good Friday, because Easter was coming. See, the centurion helps us kind of peek around the corner and see God at work. The curtain of the temple was torn in the middle. God rejects the former place of sacrifice and forgiveness. There is now a new place of sacrifice and forgiveness, a new place where God can be present among his people to strengthen, protect, and restore. And that new place, that physical location for God's blessings, is the resurrected Jesus. And St. Paul tells us that his body, his presence in our world, is his people, his church. We are the temple of God, where the Holy Spirit has chosen to dwell. The old temple was broken, was torn down, because something more was coming. Easter was coming. Satan meant it for evil, and it was. But God meant it for good. So it was. God planned to bring men and women and children out of the darkness of Satan's lies and their own sins and into the light of his peace, his acceptance, his fellowship. Satan did his worst. He waited for the opportune time. That time came. He entered into Judas, and Judas did Satan's bidding. The authorities were all pawns and tools in Satan's hand, and there was darkness all around Jesus, coming against Jesus. But that evil, that darkness, came against him and him alone. The darkness could not snuff out his compassion. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. The darkness could not snatch any believer, no matter how fragile, from Jesus' mercy. Today you will be with me in paradise, he said to the criminal crucified next to him. Jesus stood in the gap. He hung where all of us deserve to hang. The darkness came against Jesus alone, and he didn't flinch. He took it all and fulfilled the Father's will. He finished it. And so he entrusted his spirit to the Father's hands, knowing that the darkness would give way to light. Evil was at work, but God was even stronger. Evil Friday truly was Good Friday. Life and light would return, because Easter was coming. Luke goes on to tell us about another Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea, and about the Galilean women who bought spices to anoint Jesus' body. And what they did was beautiful on that evil day, but little did they know that their loving efforts were all in vain. The tomb was empty, and the spices prepared to anoint a corpse went to waste because there was no corpse to be found. All that could be found was an empty tomb and the living Lord Jesus. That Good Friday long ago was the turning point of history. Think about it. Everything for mankind depends on that Good Friday and on that Easter that was to come. Our lives depend on how God took that evil and used it for good. No darkness of sin or guilt can overcome our Jesus. And Jesus did all of this for you. So now, when darkness comes, and it will come because there's still evil at work in our world, when darkness comes, remember Good Friday. When confusion and hardships surround you and confuse you and you feel so far away from God's presence, remember Good Friday. If life becomes so hard that it seems like you can't trust God and you have no idea what good he can bring out of this evil, remember and lean on Jesus, who died on Good Friday and rose on Easter Sunday. Even though you don't know how it will all play out, like the centurion, glorify God because he is still at work. Evil Friday was also Good Friday because Jesus stood against the darkness for you. And Easter was coming. And that's why we can end this evening in hope and faith. We'll go home. We'll go and rest as the women did long ago. But we're not going to prepare any spices to anoint a body, because we know that it was and is and always will be a good Friday. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to keep many people alive today. And you and I are numbered among those blessed many.